Welcome to another Den of Hip Hop Review. Before we get started, make sure you go check out everything else we do. We got indie interviews for the new cast coming out in the game. We got convos, we got other reviews, and we got the inside look. So everything that's funny that gets cut out, go check that out. Den of Hip Hop album review, Rick Ross Mastermind. This is what? This is the third Rick Ross project that we review.
Is it really?
Yeah, we did the mixtape Rich Forever.
Yeah,
so yeah. This is the third one. You know, I could definitely say I enjoyed this project. I definitely enjoyed this project. My only gripe with this project here, it took me a couple times to really get into it, because I really wasn't feeling it the first couple times I was listening to it. At first it really felt disjointed. Maybe I wasn't paying attention, but overall I thought it was a good project. You know, the intro was interesting. The intro definitely was interesting because that voice was describing what a mastermind is. So it was basically saying that you can take on the form of something else and become successful using its resources and all of that. So for me, when I heard that, it's like, so is this Rick Ross kind of admitting or putting it out there that he did take the identity of the real Rick Ross and made it into something else? You know, so that was interesting. You know, obviously it didn't come from him, so it's not like he was technically admitting it, but he put it out there. War Ready was another one that I heard. My brother, he told me about it. And when I heard it the first time, I was like, okay, Ross did his thing on his first verse. And then when I heard the hook, I'm like, what the fuck is this? What is this? Like, that whole Migos flow stuff, I wasn't feeling it. And then when Jeezy came, he just killed it. He killed it. And the beat was crazy. But after listening to it a couple times, that hook, when I'm in the mood for it, goes hard as hell. But sometimes when I'm not in the mood for it, I cannot stand that hook. I can't stand that. What it, whoa, ready, ready, hook.
Down, set, nah,
I'm not about that life. I'm not about that Migos life. Nobody was interesting. You know, Ken dropped a little gem about the whole Puffy intro, about that was a real conversation that Puff Daddy had with, you know, he was blowing up at somebody at Revolt.
Yeah, that was on Power 105. I just heard the interview we had on Power 105 about it, and that he took that and that from Diddy and put that on there.
Yeah. And then, you know, I was feeling the fact that, you know, he was paying tribute to Biggie with the flow and just the style and everything. I don't think he did it bad.
You think that was him paying a tribute to Biggie?
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you mean?
I didn't like the song, but he got D-Rock's approval to do it, and of course Diddy, so they endorsed it. But nah, man, when I heard it, the first thing that popped up in my head was, of course, the shooting. Now, he was almost, you know, killed, so that's why I thought he decided he wanted to just go ahead and put this on here. I didn't kind of think of it more or less as a tribute like that. I was thinking, oh, okay.
So well, you didn't hear that he had the same, or was, yeah,
no, I did. No, I heard that. It was like he basically covered the song with different lyrics, but, you know, but for me, the first thing that popped up in my head was he was shot at, he was almost killed, so that was, to him, that was his version of saying that, you know, obviously I'm trying to, you know, I'm getting to the point where I'm almost somebody because you motherfuckers trying to kill me. You know, so that's kind of how I took it. I didn't took it as like a straight up tribute, you know, to, I mean, Biggie.
It's
not like that.
Both, really. It's him talking about his story and him using Biggie's story to do that. It's still a tribute.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know.
Yeah, and the way he was flowing the whole time was Biggie. And even his voice, like he brought it even a little bit, a couple notches down to match like a Biggie type voice. You know what I'm saying? So I got that. But Sanctified, that shit was dope. That shit was dope. I liked it from the first time I heard it. Big Sean, there's certain things I like about him, certain things I don't. I liked him on this hook. He went perfect with the hook. I liked the way that the beginning of the song started. You know, and then it switched up. And Kanye's a fool, man. I love Kanye. Kanye be doing this shit. Can't nobody tell him nothing. He even said God told him that he was too, what was it? What he said? Too aggressive. Me? Too aggressive?
Really?
Really? So, you know, I fuck with it, man. I like the album. It's definitely better than God Forgives I Don't.
I wasn't a fan of this album, Mastermind. There were Sanctified. I did like Sanctified. I thought that was cool. But there were not really a lot of songs that I really could connect with, you know, on here. So
he was behind his last project, right? Heavy.
Yeah, the God. See, there's two, right? Teflon Don and God Forgives I Don't. Like the top half of first half of God Forgives I Don't, right up until, you know, Don't Hold Me Back, and I think right after Don't Hold Me Back, mm-hmm. you know, it was all right. But that first half, that mm-hmm. first half was really good to me. With Rick Ross, man, the thing about Rick Ross is that when I listen to a project of his, I typically like, you know, three or four songs, and those songs just happen to be the ones that Justice League produces. So I like their production. I think Rick Ross fits well over their type of production. He has gotten better with his ear for beats, but this one wasn't as smooth to me as his previous couple of projects, because he had one Justice League beat. I think it was one, right, B?
Thug Cry.
Yeah, Thug Cry, but I didn't really even care for that much, but it was kind of really missing the smoother type of Maybach music type beats that Justice League, you know, put out. And, you know, for me, that was just missing. This was a step back for me. When I listened to it, I did not care for this at all.
Like, I was, how you could say that?
I was like, it was like, okay, I need to listen to this one more time, but damn, I don't want to listen to this shit one more time. That's how I felt. I don't want to listen to it anymore after I got listened to it enough.
One thing I can say about Ross, he does has a great ear for production, and he always go for that big cinematic type of production, that smooth type production. I thought, comparing to the, what's that, Rich Forever and God mm-hmm. Forgives, I do think this, it sounds like he's sounding a little bit more comfortable going over these, flowing over his beats. This one, since Teflon Don, I think that's the only other album that I somewhat like by Rick Ross. Rick Ross sounded cool. His flow is like decent at best. I mean, that's why I never really cared for him. I'm like Ken. I didn't care too much for him doing Nobody. Even though he did sound comfortable going over that beat and everything, but then French Montana just like fucked the hook up. And then that joint with Supreme, where he had Cat Williams talking in the beginning of it, that whoever was singing a hook on that was terrible. Like, I like the Kanye West joint sings. I thought that was cool. But Lil Wayne, I thought Lil Wayne was finally somewhat
sober.
Yeah, he sounded sober. That's what he sounded sober. I thought he sounded sober. He must have watched that review when we climbed. And was like, okay, I'm gonna come back. So he sounded a little better. I mean, he wasn't like, oh my God, Lil Wayne is back. But he sounded a lot better than the past previous stuff he's been laying recently. So I thought Thug Cry was good. It was interesting him going over that Souls of Mistress. Rick Ross sounded good. He even sounded decent on that joint. I didn't think Rick, when I first heard the step, I'm like, oh man, Souls of Mistress, what the hell? And overall, I thought he sounded, you know, pretty much comfortable on this album with these productions and with the production on this album. I thought he sounded all right. So
I expected to hate this album. I really did. I don't like Rick Ross very much. The first song I thought was pretty decent. That's the Rich's Gangsta.
Rich's Gangsta, yeah.
I thought that was okay. Drug Dealer's Dream, I could have done without. I thought that song was absolutely terrible. And I was like, okay, this is the Rick Ross I don't like, where he has like on Rich's Gangsta, I thought his flow was pretty cool. I can't say it's not something that I've heard from Rick Ross. It was just the way he was doing it on that track in particular. I was like, all right, that's actually pretty interesting. He sounded good. Drug Dealer's Dream, the reason I didn't like that is because it was that typical like ABCD flow from Rick Ross that I don't like, where it's just like, I'm gonna say rap, then I'm gonna say another rap, then I'm gonna say a rap. That's the Rick Ross I just like. God, it's so boring. But after it passed Shots Fired, when it got to Nobody, I was like, man, this is actually good. I like the way he did that. It was clearly, to me, it was clearly a tribute while inserting his own story. And I thought it was interesting that he decided to do Biggie's like persona that well. And for a hot second, it made me think, wait, do I really like Rick Ross now? Like, should I go back and listen to his other albums? But then I just didn't want to go back and listen to his other albums, because I'm pretty sure I'm not gonna like them. Devil Is a Lie, I thought was a great song. Mafia Music 3, I didn't like at all. I don't know who SZA and Mavado are. I've never heard of them. Who are they?
He's like dancehall reggae type.
And oh, that was the one with the weird reggae sample in it. I don't know. Don't do that no more, Rick Ross. That's not.
Don't do that no more, Rick Ross.
That's not your lane at all. War Ready. Cheesy.
Yeah. Can we please talk about Jeezy?
Yeah, Jeezy killed it.
Come the fuck on. That song was dope. That song was dope. I think the hook really killed the song for me. But Jesus, man, one more time, Jeezy. Yeah, God damn, I mean, I've never been a huge fan of Jeezy, but I've never disliked him at all. But like, where is this Jeezy?
He had something to prove on that song. Cause you know they was
beefing. Yeah, because they were beefing for a minute.
Yeah, so he was like, if you gonna put me on your song,
that was
Thug Motivation 101.
He went the fuck. Yeah. Oh, he said, hold on, goddamn. He said, I got a few Digi scales and a couple Denzels. You motherfucking right as a trap out. I was like, what? Jeezy went, I don't even know what to say. Jeezy went the fuck off
of
that track. Rick Ross should have went back and rewrote his verse. But yeah, you know what? The thing about me with this album is it's typical Rick Ross lyrics. You know, he's not a lyrical rapper. He's just not. The content, of course, is completely fucking empty. No, he's not talking about anything important.
You know, I saw a rich nigga go to jail. He had to put Wi-Fi in his cell. Yeah.
So what? What does that mean to me? I saw a broke nigga go to the store trying to buy shit he couldn't afford. Who cares? Who cares?
You know who cares, Mike?
Who cares? I saw a broke nigga go to the club trying to get some drink in his cup. Who cares?
Hey, man.
Who cares? Mm-hmm. His content is just so empty.
I feel you, but
he sounds good.
He does sound good. But I also think that there are gangster niggas that live somewhat of this lifestyle that he caters to. Yeah. And I think that's the thing about hip hop. Like, there's somebody for everybody. We don't live that life.
C-Town? How many albums? This is sixth album now.
Yes.
This is your sixth album of catering to these type of people. The thing about this album is I liked the production as a whole. With the exception of a few of the songs, I thought the production was really good. I liked how he was rhyming over those lush beats, and he sounded really good. Which to me, it sounded like it was a slight departure from his past couple of albums. I'm speaking generally ignorant because I don't listen to him a lot. Mm-hmm. I've only listened to the albums when they first came out just to see what they sounded like, and then the ones we reviewed. But listening to this album, it sounded like he took a step away from his older sound, right? Okay, so if that's the case, why wouldn't he try to maybe do a little bit something different with his content? Yeah. Like, you can still be a drug dealer, fine, whatever. You can still be a boss, great. But how about you add a different spin on it every once in a while? That was my only gripe, really.
Do a concept album about
something.
I mean,
that's a little too deep for him.
Oh, you think so?
I don't think he's that type. not a shot.
Yeah.
I don't think that Rick Ross is the type of guy to really put that much thought into an album to make a concept album. Yeah. But I'm just saying,
something.
Just switch it up a little bit.
This is a concept album.
Maybe it is. We just In Vain. I that's not even a song I typically would like. The first minute and a half, I did. I'm with B. The first minute and a half, I could have done without. Until Rick Ross started rhyming, that whole part of the beginning with Weekend, no.
It was awful.
No, I wanted to turn it. And I like Weekend.
Ross did sound okay on that.
If I'm tripping, I'll trip.
That's cool.
I've never been a fan of Weekend.
Man, Weekend is dope. Weekend is dope.
I agree with Rob. Weekend is dope, but this song, Thug Cry. Rod sent this shit up to me on Twitter, and I was he's like, man, you hear that Rick Ross went over 93 to Infinity? And I was like, motherfucking dick. Fuck you, Rick Ross. How fucking dare you? And I heard the song.
Yeah, he sounded
okay. Now, is Rick Ross spitting? No. Is he going hard? No. But he sounds good. The thing about this, a lot of the reason I don't care for Rick Ross was because of those types of those Southern boom shit beats that are just loud and annoying, and then he does that ABC flow over those type of beats because that's what's popular with those kind of beats. I don't feel like he did that much on this album. He got different kinds of production, and he actually gave you a bit of a flow. And I'm not used to hearing that from Rick Ross. So a standard Rick Ross fan might put this on and be like, you know what, this album's not that good. Or they might just say this album's okay. But to someone who has not liked a single thing that Rick Ross has ever done, when I got this, I was like, wow, I'm actually impressed. That's not to say this is an amazing album. That's not to say this is a great album. That's not even to say this is a good album. It's just tolerable. It's listenable. I can listen to this and not get annoyed. His other shit, turn that shit right the fuck off.
How'd you feel about Wayne on it? People wanna know.
I think Wayne is sounding better.
I don't remember any of the lines he said, and that's a good thing, and I'll tell you why. No, I mean, yeah, I guess, but typically when Wayne is terrible, the lines will stick in my head very easily.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what point of the day you talk to me, I can throw you a whack Wayne line. I can't throw you anything from that verse because it wasn't a bad verse. It wasn't a dope verse.
Yeah,
he wasn't spitting fire or nothing, but
compared to what we just been listening to, it's just like, now this sounds so much better because we've been listening to so much fucking fucked up shit from
him. Fucking fucked up shit.
Right. Right. Seriously though, you know, when you be hungry at the motherfucker, this cracker tastes good as hell.
Now you're licking your fucking fingers.
Now you finally hearing something decent. Yeah. It's like, okay, Lil Wayne,
my hip-hop has a hip-hop artist for every demographic of everybody, and Ross just caters to his. And you know, growing up in that environment, I seen it, I get it, I'm fine with it. And I think that this album overall was a good album. Still hands down my favorite is Teflon Don. Nothing comes close to that one. But this, I would honestly say, is probably my third favorite project, my second favorite album of Ross. Go bump that shit in the whip, man. If you like Ross, go support him.
He definitely has, you know, a ear for beats, and you know, and he's proven that over the years. You know, he's gotten better, and he's definitely has an ability also to make anthems. I mean, Rick Ross is good at that. Also, like, B and Mike, I'm not gonna listen to it again either. This one just didn't work for me. That's it.
Rick Ross sounded really comfortable, so I thought it was good. Like, and kind of like what Mike said, this was tolerable. Like, God Forgives Now Don't and Rich Forever was just like, oh God, turn this off. But I didn't get that feeling listening to this album. I thought it was pretty decent at best.
Let's be very clear. This is
clear it up.
Let's be very clear.
Clear it up.
This is a tolerable album. I don't want people to get what I'm saying misconstrued. This is not an amazing project. This is not a dope project. It's a tolerable listen. And this has nothing to do with him as a person. I don't know him as a person, but what I do know of him as a person is that we probably wouldn't get along. He does come off as an actor, a very bad actor. But you know, I look at him like, he's like one of those Keanu Reeves actors, you know, like where we know he's a bad actor, but he still gets jobs and we're okay with it. Rick Ross is that dude. Like, we look at him and we know that he's a bad actor.
Mm-hmm.
He's telling stories that are not his, but we know that. And I think he knows that we know that. So he's just comfortable with it. He doesn't care anymore. Just like Keanu Reeves, he knows he sucks, but he still gets jobs.
But Keanu Reeves,
let Keanu work. Let Rick Ross work.
So
I just ain't gotta go support their work.